Well, happy Thanksgiving to you all. It's a wonderful time of year, isn't it? Wonderful time of year. Great fall weather. We left summer like 2 days ago, and now it's winter almost. Got pretty cold the last day or two. Beautiful colors in the trees as the leaves die. No need for air conditioning. In fact, I put the heat on this morning. It was a little too cold in the house. We have a great opportunity to rejoice and to praise God for all of his provisions. There's a freshness in the air that just gives somehow a vitality to life and living. And even if you don't have a farm or garden, we have the harvest gathered in. And I'm thankful as a grown up as a city boy that we can still find our groceries in the grocery store, even though we didn't have any farm or produce out in the backyard. We city folks must give thanks to God for his care and the beauty of his creation and all that he provides us with. And I know that you do. Here's a few psalms that encourage us to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And it's always good to bless the name of the Lord, to give him that praise. Psalm 106, verse 47 says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise." Psalm 140, verse 13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." The righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. And as you read through the Psalms, you find that the psalmist is insistent. He is insistent in this phrase, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We started the service off with that verse. The psalmists repeat that phrase a number of times. Psalm 105, verse 1, 106, verse 1, 107, verse 1, 118, verse 1, and 29, and then Psalm 136, verse 1, repeats it continuously. And so in that phrase, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," we find the admonition that is given there. The admonition is, "O give thanks unto the Lord." And Lord here is all capital letters. It's the Hebrew word Jehovah. There is no other one deserving of the gratitude of the believer. No other being, no other God, no other person. Only Jehovah God is worthy of our praise and our gratitude. And of course, when we think of Jehovah God, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is God in the flesh. The appeal from that particular verse is, why should we give thanks to the Lord? Because he's good. God is good and always good. And even when we might not be able to see any good in what he might do, we know from the authority of the Word of God that whatever God does is always good for our good. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 17. He said, this was to the rich young ruler who asked him a question. He said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Now, you need to understand, and we don't have time to fully exegete the statement here, but Jesus was not denying his deity. He wasn't denying that he was not God. Rather, he was affirming it. For he says to this rich young ruler, "You call me good. Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God." And so in that statement, Jesus was affirming what the young man said. He said, "You call me good. Only God is good. What does that mean you acknowledge about me?" If you're good, that must mean that Jesus himself is God in the flesh. Great statement. Great interaction of affirmation concerning the deity of Christ. So the admonition is, give thanks to the Lord. The appeal is, because he's good. The affirmation is, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. It's hard for us sometimes as earthbound human beings to really conceive of what it's going to be like in eternity. Forever. No end. Just ongoing. Ongoing. The term mercy is the Hebrew word hesed. It means loving kindness or favor. It's part of the covenant that God has with his chosen people, Israel. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Right? Because God is good, his mercy endures forever. The little phrase, plenteous in mercy, that's included in that verse, occurs three times in our Bible, all of them in Psalms. Here in Psalm 86, verse 5, for example, and then in verse 15 of the same psalm says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy." Just consider the terms that are associated with mercy here in this verse. He's merciful, full of compassion. He's gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and in truth. All of those things hold together. I picture them all as a circle, and each one around that circle are just as important as the others. And to think of one is to acknowledge the reality of all the rest of them as well, the things that God is. Compassionate, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And then the third place where that little phrase, plenteous in mercy, is used is Psalm 103, verse 8, which says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Aren't you glad that our God is such a being, such a person as that? And we need to praise God that his mercy endures forever. So, in light of this verse, what should we do? Give thanks to the Lord. Now, there's no time limit on that. Give thanks always, every occasion, to the Lord. Why should we do it? Because God is good. And we see that in the world around us. And what makes God so good? His mercy endureth forever. So, that was Psalm 118 and verse 1. Now, Thanksgiving in our country has been and still is basically about harvest time. Rejoicing in the harvest for its plenty, and maybe also because harvest time is done, all the crops are in, and it's an opportunity to give thanks for God's provision and the bounty that he has provided. Here's a bit of Thanksgiving Day history from webholidays.com about Thanksgiving in Canada. "Harvest celebrations have been around a long time," it says. "However, since the very first harvest, about 2,000 years ago," not sure how they get that, but that's what they say, "people have given thanks for a prosperous bounty. The first formal Canadian Thanksgiving was held just over 40 years prior to the Pilgrims landing in Massachusetts. An English explorer named Martin Frobisher had been trying to find a northern passage to the Orient. He did not succeed, but he did establish a settlement in northern America, and he did celebrate a harvest feast. This is considered the first Canadian Thanksgiving. In 1957, Canadian Parliament announced that on the second Monday in October, that Thanksgiving would be, quote, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed, end quote. Quite a statement, don't you think? A day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. I like that. I like that a lot. Maybe we should remind our fellow Canadian citizens to whom we should be thankful on this second Monday in the month of October. We are to be thankful to Almighty God for his bountiful harvest. This site goes on to say, during the American Revolution, Americans who remained loyal to England moved to Canada, where they brought the customs and practices of the American Thanksgiving to Canada. There are many similarities between the two Thanksgivings, such as the cornucopia and the pumpkin pie. According to one Canadian resource, the Canadian table usually features venison and waterfowl over turkey. However, a professor from Durham College tells us that in southern Ontario, eating waterfowl or venison at Thanksgiving has never happened, and that the turkey and or ham is the featured food. Conversely, another adamantly states that when he was young, wild duck or goose was always served for Thanksgiving, and if they were fortunate, venison as well. This was a common practice in that area at that time, according to webholidays.com. Well, whatever you may eat on Thanksgiving Day, even KFC, if that is your choice, don't forget the time is for thanking God for his provisions, for his blessings to us. Make that central to your Thanksgiving celebrations. Webster's 1828 dictionary, which its claim to fame is that it defines every single word that is found in the King James Bible in English. So Webster's 1828 dictionary says that Thanksgiving is, number one, a public celebration of divine goodness, also a day set apart for religious services, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England, according to Webster's. So we are holding to a long-held tradition on Thanksgiving Day to have our turkey dinners or whatever it is that you have in the menu, but ultimately that we give thanks to God for his provision for us. In the New Testament, there are some great examples of thankfulness. Some great examples of thankfulness that we can note and perhaps incorporate into our life and living as well. We won't look up all the references, but some of them we will, so hang on. Number one, we have the example of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 15, verses 32 to 38, we find the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks to his Father in heaven for the provision of 7 loaves and a few little fishes, and then multiplying those things to feed some 4,000 men besides women and children. This is not the feeding of the 5,000. This was another occasion when there were 4,000 men beside women and children, 7 loaves and a few fishes. And before Christ multiplied them and distributed them, he gave thanks to his Father for providing those things. Secondly, the Lord Jesus, another example from the Lord Jesus, was him giving thanks to his Father for the bread and cup at the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room, a time that was instituted as an ordinance for the church, the fellowship around the Lord's table. We find this in Luke 22:17-19. He gave thanks to the Father for the bread, men for the cup, and then distributed it to his disciples. Thirdly, in John 11, I'll have you turn to John 11. You may be familiar with this record, this account. In John 11, verse 41 to 44, this is the occasion when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I'll back you up to verse 34. Christ has come down into south of Israel, around the town of Bethany, a little bit to the east of Jerusalem. And when he comes down, he has a conversation with Martha and then Mary. In verse 34, it says, "Where have you laid him?" The Lord Jesus asked, "Where Lazarus has been buried." They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father," what's the next words? "I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." So just before this momentous miracle of Jesus raising of Lazarus from the dead, we find him in prayer thanking the Father for hearing him and hearing his prayers. Great example of the Lord Jesus giving thanks to his Father. A fourth example is in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. This was the time when Jesus healed lepers that were out on the roadway. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and there were lepers along the way. Jesus healed them, but only one of those lepers came back to thank him, a Samaritan, in that passage in verse 16. Now, a Samaritan of all people was the only one of, I think there were 10 in the group, that came to Jesus, fell down at his feet, and gave him thanks for what Christ had done for him. Samaritans were a despised, hated, contemptible, in the minds of many, a low-life individual, a Samaritan. And yet here he is, humbly, worshipfully, sincerely, totally abandoned, not to himself, but to the Lord Jesus, for what Christ has done for him. He's on his knees, giving thanks to the Lord Jesus who healed him of his disease. And the reality is that this cleansed and thankful Samaritan leper was really a rebuke to the self-righteous, snubbing Jews, especially the Pharisees. Do you know what the thankfulness of the Pharisee was like? The Pharisees prided themselves on their self-righteousness, you know, always keeping the law. Do you know what the thankfulness of the Pharisee was like? Look at, turn to Luke 18. Here is the Pharisaic example of giving thanks. Luke 18 and verse 9. And Jesus said, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, good for you, Mr. Pharisee. But you notice his thankfulness is to God, but only about himself. He's self-righteous. I've done this, I've done that. I'm not like other men or even like this publican here, this tax collector, this civil servant that's standing beside him. May I suggest to you that this is a bad example of thankfulness? We don't want to have that kind of thankfulness. I hope you agree. This is not right and would not be pleasing to the Lord. Note the publican's prayer in contrast to the Pharisee's prayer. Verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Quite a difference between the two. So I like the Samaritan's example, that leper that came back to Jesus to give him thanks for his healing. I don't like the Pharisee's example, and so we note it, but say, let's not do that kind of thankfulness. What kind of thankfulness should you be expressing in your life today, especially tomorrow on Thanksgiving Monday? That of the Lord Jesus, who was always thanking his Father for everything that he was involved in. That of the Samaritan, giving thanks and praise to God for blessings, for healing, for provisions in life. That of the Pharisee, self-righteous, arrogant attitude. I think you know which examples we need to follow and which ones we need to shun. Interesting, in the New Testament, scriptures use the word thank and a whole bunch of additional forms like thanks, thanked, thanking, thanksgiving, thankful, unthankful, thankfulness, and thankworthy 73 times throughout the New Testament scriptures. 68 times you will find the word thanksgiving in the Old Testament. This word was one of Paul's favorite words. He used it quite often, and he uses it in every one of his epistles except for Galatians and Titus. And you will find thanks in its forms 46 times in Paul's epistles. That's a great character trait to have, isn't it? A thankful spirit, one that it just exudes from one's life. You don't have to force it out. It's just the way that we are, a character trait. And Paul was so very thankful. And you can read the many times that he gives thanks. But here's a few things about Thanksgiving from the Apostle Paul in the few minutes that we have left this morning. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, we read, Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You know then that thankful people are spiritually triumphant people. We recognize what God is doing in our lives and the great victories he gives to us moment by moment, and we are ready, quick, and able to give him thanks for what he has done for us. You can cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, which says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Where, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful people are spiritually triumphant people. And that's the side that we want to always be on. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So thankful people are praying people, right? Praying people. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make sure it's with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thankful people are praying people. In Colossians 2, verse 7, we read, rooted and built up in him that is in Christ, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving in the faith that we have. So we would say that thankful people are grounded in the faith people. Rooted and built up, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thankful people are grounded in the faith people. We know what the Word of God says. We believe what the Word of God says. And that is not only the authority that we hold on to, but the the Word that directs and leads us into this life of faith. Just a couple of more. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him, that's by Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So we have an opportunity to offer a sacrifice of praise to our God through the Lord Jesus. And that sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's a pretty impressive verse. There's a lot of good things in that verse that you could muse on and dwell on for quite some time. But what we would learn is that thankful people are praising God people, right? We praise God, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thankful people are praising God people. You like to do that, don't you? Praise the Lord. And you don't have to even be in a church service to do that. You can praise the Lord anytime. Anytime that you acknowledge and see God's good hand in your life. And then Ephesians 5, verse 20, which we read. No, we didn't read that one earlier. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so thankful people are discerning people, looking for all of those things about which to thank the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Giving thanks always for all things. And so whatever that is, we look for those things that are going to give us the privilege of giving the Lord thanks for what he does. 2 Timothy, this is the last one. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is the characteristic of the last days before Christ's return for the church and before the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth to establish his millennial kingdom. This is last day character stuff. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And so I would say to you that thankful people are counterculture people. Right? If those things describe the last days, the day in which we are living, and the world around us, then we as Christians are to live counterculture to what is in the world today, not willing to abide such awful and sinful qualities in our lives. And thankful people, then, are counterculture people. He said that in the last days, the men would be unthankful. Well, that's not us. We are called upon to be thankful people. And so we live counterculturally from the world around us. I think I said finally already, didn't I? Here's the real finally. The Holy Spirit exhorts us to be thankful people. The Holy Spirit exhorts us to be thankful people. Colossians 3:17. You're looking for a verse to memorize. This would be a good one. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, accompanied with thanksgiving to God and the Father by him. And then from the scripture reading this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, what? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. People wonder a lot about what God's will for them is. I can tell you what God's will is, in part, for every one of us. It's right here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, Paul says. In everything, give thanks. There's no exceptions. No exceptions. Everything, we are to give thanks to for God, whether we understand what God is trying to do through what he brings into our lives and experience, we may not, we are still to give thanks because God is good. His mercy endures forever. He will always provide that for that which is right in our lives. So today, and may I suggest every day of the year, we are called to be thankful people. We are commanded to be thankful people. We are created to be thankful people. And thanksgiving is to be for all things, physical, spiritual, environmental, social, whatever. In all things, we are to be thankful people. And may I say that thanksgiving is focused. It's focused. It's directed unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Directed to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, what do we learn from all of this? Be thankful. Be thankful to God in the name of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We have read through a lot of scripture references, maybe not looked too many of them up to see them on the page, but we thank you that you have given them all to us in your word by which we might learn, that we might be the kind of people that would be pleasing in your sight, and we know that that has to be, that we should be a thankful people. And I pray that this Thanksgiving weekend, tomorrow, you might remind us, as we are perhaps celebrating with family and friends, maybe neighbors, that all thanks for this day is to be directed to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to acknowledge that, to see it and put it into place and practice in our lives, not only for today and tomorrow, but also every day in our lives. We want to be that thankful kind of person that will bring honor, glory, and be pleasing in your sight as well. Take your word, and we pray you'll plant it deeply into our hearts and minds and help us to carefully think on those things that you have said to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.